This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
In your heart, you know it's right. Now, something completely different.
What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and on the phone line is a guest I have not had on for 8 years. You can see him tonight. If it's Saturday you're listening, September 27th, you can see him tonight at Side Splitters Comedy Club in Tampa at 6 and 8 p.m. On the phone line is comedian Mikey Winfield. What's up, bro?
In the building. I can't believe it's been 8 years, man. Dude, that's so crazy.
I felt so ill because you sent me a DM and I said, here, text me. And you sent me a text. And in our previous text, because we both have iPhones, the blue bubble was like 2017. I was like, it does not feel that long. How you been, bro?
Wow. Hey, man, let me tell you, I've been really incredible. Like, you know, even at that time, I could say I probably looked at it through the same lens and I was like, oh, things are great, and blah, blah, blah. But now that I'm looking since then, it's just been some more, a little more elevation. You know, I got an extra TV credit mixed in there. I was on America's Got Talent, you know, and, you know, the acting stuff is still like in the vicinity and, but the most important thing is I'm selling more tickets, man.
Yeah.
Like, these people are coming out, and they're coming out to the shows, and I get to still do this.
Yeah, and I'm like, looking here. What was it like getting a golden buzzer from Simon Cowell? What was that feeling like in 2022 on America's Got Talent?
Man, you know, that's the great thing. Like, I could have got a golden buzzer from anyone, but getting it from Simon, notably one of the most critical judges of all time in all of judge land, it mattered. And it was way more beneficial than people even know. Like, one thing is, as soon as that white hand went up, I saw my ticket sales just go crazy. Right. Just that alone did it. But I also scored a residency out of it. So I was in Vegas for a little bit, hosting the live AGT show.
Yeah.
And then I would balance that with road gigs in between. And that's why I own a really incredible house now. So, all of these factors, led up to, you know, the continuation again of being able to do it. But that golden buzzer, man, I'm telling you, those sprinkles come out the sky and you're just watching things just really move in the exact moment it's happening. It's pretty cool.
How much of your comedy did you have to change for TV?
None. Because this is what happened. I didn't have to change any of it. The thing was, we were figuring out what my set was going to be for the show, and they were just kind of going and glancing at stuff that they thought would be great for the show, and I was suggesting material, and a lot of it was stuff that, like, I had previously, like, done in an older comedy special, but as far as the change in it, I didn't have to at all. You know, I might have cut out a tag here and there because I had to fit in a 2-minute time frame, but it was just what fit the best. And at that time, I pulled out most of my jokes that are kind of more jokey than longer stories or you know, I even cut out a lot of the cerebral stuff. Like, I do a lot of cerebral stuff, but this was more of the in-your-face, I know everyone's going to get this content, and it worked out for me in an amazing way. The fans are the craziest, though. They're so loyal supportive, and they buy tickets in advance. And they come out and they say, "You should have won." And I'm like, I'm just glad to hear. I was just happy to see you.
I was just talking to, it was so weird how small the planet is. Styles Dub, who works on some podcast, he lives in Tampa, and he just messaged me and he's like, "You got to have Mikey Winfield on." And I was like, "Dude, I'm having him on." And he said the exact same thing. He just said to me that you should have won.
And you know, it's a tricky thing. I think the goal of the comedian, like, maybe it's sad at the moment, but it's not when you're really doing the math and connecting the dots. You know, like, a lot of times people want to root for the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, so not winning is the win. Because then when you do win, you're set up for hate,
which is
also exciting. But when you win, especially as a comedian, that's probably why a comedian hasn't won the show. Everyone's like, "Nah, he's not that funny. I like this guy better. This other comedian was actually my favorite." So when you don't, you're just in the conversation. And people come to support and to say that you should have, and I gladly accept.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, you made a post about a month ago, and I don't want to even give the comedian the time of day, but there was a comedian that got caught having really bad pictures and underage videos on his hard drive. And you made a post and you said, I've actually had him on and it was awful. You said that, a lot of comedians, I forget how you worded it, but that people were already trying to book his previous shows just as he got canceled for having underage videos on his laptop. And to me, that type of post is why I've always vibed with you, because a lot of comedians don't have the balls to say things. And a ton of comedians were always my friend when I worked with a morning radio show. But when I went on to do my own ventures, they were too cool to talk to me. You've always been the comedian's comedian, bro. Like, you don't, what I've always loved about you is that you've never forgotten where you came from. Because a lot of comedians, once they go on Rogan or once they hang out with Andrew Santino or any of the big names, you never hear from them again.
Yeah, man, I think just however it came to this, it's just my upbringing, but like, I'm human first, you know, and those decisions come from that, and knowing that this world is just way bigger than we seldom sit down to imagine. There's just so much going on that we're unaware of, and we can only do what we can do. And I just know that my purpose, maybe I will never know it. I'm just going to continue to, you know, continue. But man, if three people hear me, if a million people hear me, it's just, I just need to do what I'm supposed to do and not worry about anything else. And I just like being creative, man. I like putting stuff out there. And right now, it's in a really great place. Man, I got a new Dry Bar special that could release any day now.
Oh, nice.
Exciting, you know, because I feel like I get to give people a little bit of everything. So for the people unfamiliar, Dry Bar is like squeaky, clean comedy, you know.
But it's funny.
Right. It's sort of what I did on AGT, you know, in a way. And then, you know, they come to the club and now I'm giving them some of the clean. I'm giving some of just my real life, which is not squeaky clean, you know. So you get it's just all, man. You get it all encapsulated. And that's what the live show is.
What was the tryout process like for us? 2022 America's Got Talent.
Man, I don't even know if I should say this, but I will say it. So the tryout process was, I was somewhat vetted in a way where I had turned it down like 10 years prior, because Well, I didn't know, man. And I was a little on a high horse. I was coming off of like the David Letterman show in The Office. I had met Howie. Yeah. You know, me and Howie fist bumped, and he was like, you should come on the show. And I didn't understand it then. I was like, oh yeah? I guess. So I didn't prioritize it. It wasn't until like these years later, which works in my favor because then I'm a more polished comic. I have more content to draw from is kind of how I can look at it now. But, you know, I saw what it was doing for other comedians. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, and the format worked for those specific jokes. I knew that in that time frame, I have quick jokes if I need to that will work in that format. And they just took care of the rest. I had incredible producers. Like, I had the producers that were so versed, knew the show from top to bottom, and they knew what would hit, what would stick. And we went over a bunch of content, and that's where it landed.
The last time we talked, man, when you would say the letters AI, you were talking about the greatest short basketball player ever being Allen Iverson. Now when you say AI in September going October 2025, it's a completely different thing. Since AI has come out, how has that changed comedy?
You know, how has it changed comedy? Comedy's in a crazy evolution right now, but it's just all over the place. It's going to revert. Like, for now, there's a lot of people just putting out unpolished content, and there's a lot of people receiving it, and that's great. Like, yeah. Comedy is successful if it's hot. You know, I just want the world to laugh. You know, this is what I get. When I post clips now, I see people say, wow, something that was prepared. You know, they're happy that it was written. And I just know that there's trends that happen, and I'm not one to shy away from the trend. I've been doing it so long. I can do anything at this point. I can write, I can freestyle, I can Q&A the entire time. It's just your skill set increases after 20 years of stand-up, you know? So I'm just the biggest fan of who I love are guys who write. You know, that's what pushes me because, you know, first and foremost, I'm like a writer. I think the performance part is just skills you acquire over time. And when God blesses you to look, you know, a certain way, that doesn't hurt the case, you know. But as far as AI, what is happening? You know, like people are using it to create content and using it to aid them in writing or people. I mean, I'm hearing that you can write full on scripts just asking it. It's insane, you
it's
know?
It's gotten better, too. At first, like a year and a half ago, it was very bland, and now it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's just one of those things that exists, and it will continue to grow and to just... I don't know if it takes over, you know? I mean, what does takeover even mean? Well, we have, like, AI comedians taking weekends from... I don't know.
You know what I think? I think it just makes us have to be better as humans of putting out content. Gary Vee, I remember when ChatGPT first came out. It was like 5 a.m. I'm getting ready to do this morning radio show, and I'm just sitting in this room by myself, and I watched this reel by Gary Vee. And Gary Vee said, you can either be afraid of AI or you can utilize AI. And ever since then, I've tried to learn as much as I can. I make AI music for my show. I make AI graphics. I use ChatGPT. And I think you can either be mad that AI is around and could replace us, or you can use it to be better. But you just got to make sure, like, it was so cringy. 2 years ago, I used to send emails to try to book people, and I was using AI prompts. and nobody ever got back to me. But whenever I would send an email to somebody and I just typed it up myself, I had a better chance of hearing back from people. So that's kind of where you have to be careful with AI, is you still have to do some of the work. Like, people can tell, you'll see somebody make a post on LinkedIn or whatever, and you're like, oh my God, is that AI? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so much to it. You know, I've created images, you know, to just like add on a flyer and things like that, you know, but I'm so in love with the like creative process of just art that I don't really bother AI for that. You know, I don't want to like stunt my own personal growth, you know?
No. Do you think, that's because you were, so like my whole life, there's pretty much always been social media. I was born in 93, so I remember no internet, but I feel like a lot of the people that were around when there wasn't social media, I feel like they're less likely to use AI because they're so used to a time when there wasn't even internet. You know what I mean?
That makes sense, you know, but that also is in line with, when people get older, they don't even want to try new things.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I remember a lot of people that were like, I'll never get a cell phone. I was like, yeah, right. You know, so it's how it is when you get older.
Yeah, I'm seeing here on your Wikipedia, you did a show called Gary Busey Pet Judge. What the hell is that?
I think that is the GOAT show. That is the greatest show of all time that no one's really seen. And what happened was, I was the bailiff while Gary Busey was the judge for pet court cases. So people would come in with animal cases and animal stories, and they were just absurd. They were just the wildest, and he would have rulings on it, and I was the bailiff, and the best part, or funniest part to me at least, as the bailiff, they gave me zero instruction. They were just like, you're the bailiff, and I was like, I guess I am. They gave me a bailiff wardrobe, and I was just in there to do what I thought bailiffs did.
How did that not get bigger? Because it came out during 2020. We weren't doing anything then. What went wrong with Gary Busey, Pet Judge?
I think maybe he got lost or something. I think they just couldn't find him. You know, because outside of that, it was like junk food television. It's what people needed in their life. I just think he might have went missing, and then he eventually turned up. Because he was,
what's he like?
He was an interesting person to work with.
What's he like?
Now, you know what's crazy? I think everyone knew that the pet judge, they knew the stories were satire. Everybody except him. I think he's the only one that thought it was actually real. And you could tell how he responded. I'm like, oh, this man really thinks these dolphins hate each other, you know? And I was like, this is so wild. This was such a, every day going there was like, man, this is the best experience ever.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It made this Reddit page called Forgotten TV, and people are like debating why it didn't blow up. I think he definitely got lost. Is he not all here? Like, I don't want to talk bad about the guy, but like, you know, like when you see someone and you know they're kind of like a space cadet or they're not all on this planet, is he kind of like lost, you know?
Hey, man, listen to this. I'm not going to answer that question. I will say that when you see all these people and you think it, you're probably right. You know, there's people that say that about me. I will say that.
Me too.
There are moments, man, where I go blank and I'm just somewhere else.
Oh, no, me too, bro. Usually it's because of weed, though. That's usually my culprit.
Yeah, man. I just find sometimes that I'm just somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, me too.
And I'm fine with that too, man. I think it's fun getting older. You know, you just start to lose memory. You start to decide to do whatever you want to do. You're going to do it. I think there is a huge joy and just liberation. Just being able to do and be whatever you want.
You know what I find fascinating too? No one knows your actual age online. That is pretty baller, bro. That is pretty cool. It says between 1979 to 1988. I love that. That is the perfect way to describe you. No one knows your birthday. I love that.
Hey, man, there's people that, like, they're always fishing for it, too, man. It's like, isn't that this big secret? But I guess it is. You know, this girl last night, man, I was at this bar, and she was telling me, and she was talking about it, and she brought it up, too. And she was like, yeah, I think it elevates this level of mystique, and you remain mysterious like that. And I was like, oh, okay, then I'll continue to not tell anyone that if that's what it does, it's bringing value. And that was kind of interesting, but it comes up. It definitely comes up, you know. And
that's the part about
being black sometimes, man. Yeah. The black not cracking, I could be 28 or 73.
It's so true about black don't crack. Like, I'll see some people, like even Halle Berry. I can't believe her age, bro. I'm like, there's no way.
Oh, I know.
It's amazing. Know.
It's just like, why is your skin smooth?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's all the natural oils that you have inside of your body.
You know, she's I'll say it for you. I could tell she's a problem to date, though. I could tell there's something. I don't want to say off about her, but I can imagine an argument with Halle Berry. I can imagine she wins that argument every single time. She's not losing an argument. She's Halle Berry. She has songs about
her. I can definitely see that too, you know. You know, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. Like, I don't know about dating. Like, I like the idea of just us all doing whatever we want to do, because when it gets all serious, then it gets all dramatic and the fun's gone. And some people find the fun in the drama.
No, that's true.
The toughness. And I don't know. That's just me, man. I'm at a point of life. I like things lighter and, you know, more joyful. And yeah. And that's where I am. That's where I've been. And I'll keep it there over anything.
Now, what was your time like on The Office? That's pretty cool that you got to be a recurring character on such a legendary show like that.
Man, well, two nights ago, which is funny, I just saw Craig Robinson, and a lot of people know as Daryl. We were on the same show and at the Ice House. And it was just kind of cool, man. The whole show experience was just surreal. Really, because I was a fan of the show, and the next thing you know, I'm walking through the literal office. You know, it's like I'm touching the desk, and I'm just like, this is crazy, man. Like, you see all these episodes, and then you're in there, and they're about to record you to be on it. That's why I feel like none of this stuff is real, man. Like, the whole world is like, oh, listen, man, my mom showed me something when I was, like, young. It was The Truman Show. You remember that movie?
Yeah.
It's this movie, right, where, like, Jim Carrey's going through, and his entire life is recorded. And I don't know if he knows, but everyone else is in on it except maybe him. And I kind of feel like that's like something that we're living in right now, where we're just in this thing.
I agree.
And yeah, something is kind of directing it and setting you up and putting you in these places. And sometimes it's eerie. And that's the reason I stopped smoking weed, because I get creeped out sometimes when I really deep dive this in my mind.
I know it's not fun to think about. I'm trying to think of an example of what I've had recently. Well, here's an example, and I don't get political on this show, but I grew up with, I got a story for you. You're going to love this. There was a time in 2010, we were underage drinking, and my friend was always the DD because he didn't drive, and we had three kids in a car that fit five, and they went to pick me up, and then they're like, hey, do you guys want to smoke this doobie? And we start driving around, and my friend in the front seat goes, hey, what if we picked up Charlie Kirk? I went to high school with him, and I knew him before he became a political loudmouth. So I passed him a joint, and he pretended to hit it, and it touched it like it was a bomb. And I have that experience with a world-famous political figure that nobody has. Like, how is that even real life? You know what I mean?
Man, that is like...
crazy, right?
That's that thing. And that's that thing when you see an old photo and it's a person standing in the back and you never knew that that person was that person. And you're like, yo, life is weird sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Like, yeah, just that story. Just that is like, yo, what is going on?
I smoked weed with Trump's friend. Think about that. Crazy.
It is crazy. I was out the country. I know you said it's not a political show, and
it's
not
all
political
good.
Either.
Yeah.
But I was out the country, and I came back, and I didn't, you know, I just, the day I come back, that's what the story is. And I'm like, what? What happened? What are people talking about? And it was just a lot, because I knew nothing about him at all. So when I came back, it was just like, this is the top thing? Is this real? Is this all planted? To have some, you know, like, I didn't know anything. I just kind of walked in on the world in an uproar over a guy I've never heard of. I'm like,
yeah.
Wow.
And, like, that's what I like about your comedy is because, like, I used to love late-night TV, having five TV channels growing up. I loved Kimmel. I loved Letterman. I loved Leno. I liked Ferguson. Fallon's okay. But I'm telling you, man, like, I can't escape politics anywhere. I just want to watch comedy that's not political. And it feels like 80% of it now is all political, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's also easy. You know, it's like if I want to, I could like put out a political 25-30 minute special because, you know, all you're doing is like picking what's hot and throwing a little curved twist on it. And that just comes from the foundation and fundamentals of learning how to write jokes. But it's not my preference. Like one day, if I have to decide I want to do something for art or for people, then maybe I will. But otherwise, yeah, I just kind of talk about what I want to talk about. And I think that's the best show. Because it doesn't look forced, you know?
So if the listeners of Hoppy Hour with Ryan Hoppy are listening on Saturday, September 27th, before 6 p.m. or 8 p.m., go to sidesplitterscomedy.com, and then on the main page it says, where do you want to go to laugh? Click on Tampa, and there you can get tickets for the 6 and 8 p.m. show with Mikey Winfield, who is on the show right now. It's been really cool. I've seen, like, I think it was Mark Norman gave Sidesplitters a shout-out on Joe Rogan. It's so surreal because I love BT over there. I love that place. It's so cool when Side Splitters, the hometown club of Tampa Bay, gets some love, you know?
Nah, absolutely, man. It's like a great club that I've been going to for so many years. And they've been showing love for so many years. And then the people come out, they're wearing your merch, you know, and
Stuck
it's
fans.
Good that They are. They're like really great. And then, you know, all I need is about a year and a half or so, and then I can come up with just a whole thing of new material. You know, that's what the thing is, too. That's why guys are not, like, writing. Because, you know, it takes time to polish up some written stuff versus if you just freestyle everything and, you know, you can return quicker, which is better for money.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
People are hitting bottom line. So, you know, money rules this world.
Oh, it does.
You know, if you allow it, I guess.
Now, before I let you go, could I get you to record a liner for me?
It depends on what is it.
It would be, hey, this is Mikey Winfield, and you're listening to Hoppy Hour with Ryan Hoppy. That's all.
I can do that. Yeah, that's easy.
Perfect.
You got to be careful before you agree to stuff. You got to hear what it is first.
Oh, no, I got you. I'm ready whenever.
Okay. What's going on, everybody? This comedian Mikey Winfield on the Hoppy Hour with Ryan Hoppy.
Well, bro, for everybody that's a fan of Mikey Winfield, they can go to sidesplitterscomedyclub.com and follow you on social media. And also for the listeners we have in Kansas City, San Antonio, Minneapolis, and Salt Lake City, if you go to mikewinfield.com, you can get tickets for all the upcoming shows, and then you can become a step fan as well, which you call your fan base, correct?
Yeah, the step fan. So yeah, follow me and... thanks for listening, everyone, and come see the live show.
Well, Mikey, I will have this podcast up in about 20 minutes. I was so flattered that you even thought to message me. I was like, damn, I could not believe it's been 8 years, and I will talk to you in 2033. I'm just kidding.
Hey, man, great to hear from you, and thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you, bro. Keep up the good work. And everybody, sidesplitterscomedy.com and mikewinfield.com. Mike Winfield, actor and comedian, thank you for calling in the Hoppy Hour with Ryan Hoppy.
Absolutely. Thank you. Catch up with you soon.
Peace out, bro.
All right.
And that was Mikey Winfield as he called in the Hoppy Hour. Now, go to sidesplitterscomedy.com, and there you can get tickets for tonight's 6 and 8 p.m. show if you're listening on September 27th. Now, if you're listening in the future, you can go to mikewinfield.com and follow him on all social media. So I have two versions of my show, Hoppy Hour. I have one, which is a circus of a talk show where I talk about celebrity news and rant. And then I have one where I interview comedians and radio hosts. Go to every single major platform that has a podcast and search Hoppy Radio, H-O-P-P-E Radio, to listen to Hoppy Hour. Mm-hmm.
TikTok, toxic juke, we're playing cruel pranks. Hoppy's hour almost done, feels like robbery in banks. Ryan Hoppy on the mic, dropping wisdom in streams. Syndicated sorrow, now it's time to shatter dreams. Oh, the Hoppy Hour is coming to a close. Radio is fading like a wilting rose. Laughter and joy dissolving in the air, but we'll keep the rhythm. Oh, that's just so unfair. But the laughter's growing dim. Eardrums mixed in hoppy like fingers without rings. PHX to FM, shout out to the street. But soon the sound will vanish like shadows in the heat. Oh, the hoppy hour is coming to a close. Radio waves fading like a wilting rose. Laughter and joy dissolving in the air. But we'll keep the rhythm. Oh, life's just so unfair. Phone lines buzzing, but the laughter's growing dim. Drums mixing hoppy like fingers without rings. EHX to FM, shout outs hit the street. But soon the sound will vanish like shadows in the heat. Oh, the hoppy hour is coming to a close. Radio waves fading like a wilting rose. Laughter and joy dissolving in the air. But we'll keep the rhythm. Oh, life's just so unfair. Clockwork to a show. Now it's time to face the silence like a TV on snow. Ryan Hoppy held the mic with humor so divine. The void left in our hearts wider than a canyon line. Line. Empty speaker silence. I'm coming to an end like a roller coaster stopping how the rivers bend. Hoppy's jokes and jabs, he's our daily grind. Now silence louder than the thoughts we can't rewind. Oh, the hobby hour is coming to a close. Radio waves fading like a wilting rose. Laughter and joy dissolving in the air. But we'll keep the rhythm. Oh, life's just so unfair. The hobby hour is coming to a close. Radio waves fading like a wilting rose. Laughter and joy dissolving in the air. But we'll keep the rhythm. Oh, life's just so unfair.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour.
RyanHoppyRadio.com.
And like that, he's gone.
You probably had Taco Bell before.
Whenever we're going outside, all I smell is poop.
I'll kick you in the nuts, and we'll call it a day.
Hoppy Hour is now over.
Happy hour is now over.
Game over. This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.
Doors closing.